Let's pray together. Father God, we do ask again that you speak to us deeply, speak into our hearts. Help us to sit under the authority of your holy word and to respond appropriately to it. Amen. We're going to be thinking through that passage in Mark chapter 10, which was on page 1014. Well, this week I was reminded of a pub called The Cabin. What was The Cabin like? Well, it was a rather dodgy place in Liverpool in the 1980s. It was not your typical pub. It had restricted entry. Now, if you're a girl, there were no restrictions whatsoever. I guess that's a bit sexist, really. However, if you're a bloke, you could only get into this club if you were a medical student, and you had to prove it. You had to produce your medical card, and then you were given a membership card. But just to make sure, they'd also ask you a medical question. And every time you came in, they'd also ask you a medical question if you were a guy. Just to check. So one night, there I was. I studied economics, by the way. So there I was, queuing up outside, pretending to be a medical student. And I had somebody's borrowed card with me. So I was pretending to be a guy called Richard, not this Richard. This Richard was studying Russian at the time, but he had managed to con his way in before by faking his identity as a medical student so he could get one of these cherished cards. You see, the cabin was where it was rumoured that all the good-looking girls hung out. Well, I managed to get in that night because I had this card, and the question to the medical question was being the answer was being passed down the line, so I got in. All very dodgy stuff. There is an account, then, of my efforts to get into The Cabin. Not an easy place to get into. In fact, it was jolly difficult to get in there. This morning, as we look at Mark chapter 10, we find that there is another place that is difficult to get into. In fact, as we will see, it is downright impossible by our own efforts. And that place is the kingdom of God. Now, I might have been able to con my way into the cabin back in the 1980s, but no one can con their way into the kingdom of God. Let's take a look at today's passage then. We're going to see three reasons why one might fail to enter the kingdom of God. Three reasons why one might fail to enter the kingdom. Let's start by then looking at chapter 10, verse 17 on page 1014. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now this rich young man is eagerly trying to get into the kingdom of God. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And I guess he's looking for reassurance. He believes he's obeyed all of the commandments. And he wants Jesus to give him a bit of a pat on the head and say, "Well done, young man, you have lived a wonderful life. You will definitely inherit eternal life. You will definitely get into the kingdom of God." That's what the young man hopes and expects to hear. But sadly, he's very much mistaken. So three reasons why one fails to enter the kingdom. Here comes reason number one, and it's a failure to recognise who Jesus really is. Who does this young man think Jesus is? Well, verse 17, he calls him a good teacher. And many people say that about Jesus, don't they? They say, "I believe Jesus was a good teacher, but I really don't think he was the Son of God." You ever heard anyone say that? Well, Jesus, interestingly, never gives us that option. And he wants this young man to understand this. He is far more than a good teacher. He responds with this challenge. He wants the young man to work out who he is. Verse 18, Jesus replies, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Can you see how Jesus is challenging his thinking? If no one is truly good except God alone, well, what options does Jesus give us? One, is he a good teacher? Just a good teacher? We can't have that option. He can't be good. No one is good except God alone. Jesus may be a teacher, but he can't be good, not in the full sense of the word. Option two, yes, Jesus is a good teacher. He really is good, but because only God is good, Jesus must be God himself. What is Jesus trying to do with this young man? We've heard in verse 21 that Jesus looked at him and loved him. And because of that love Jesus has for this man, he wants the young man to think through the identity of Jesus. Jesus is not simply a good teacher. Jesus is saying, look, you've just called me a good teacher. Is that really all you think I am? No, think about it. I'm more than that. I want you to think it through and recognize that I am your Messiah. I am God himself become a human person. That's the first challenge Jesus gives this young man. The first reason then why one might fail to get into the kingdom of heaven is simply because they fail to recognize who Jesus really is. Do we think of Jesus as only a good teacher or only a human being? Or have we recognized he's actually more than that? He is God himself. He wants us to see that. But moving on to this second reason why one might fail to enter the kingdom of God, and that is a failure to recognize that we are not good. A failure to recognize that we are not good. Do you think you're a good person? At least good enough to gain access into the kingdom of God. My puppet Charlie thought that. Well, think again, says Jesus. Listen to the second challenge that Jesus lays before the young man. It's in verse 19. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honour your father and mother. Now, how should this young man have reacted to that? How do we react to that? I think we should react by squirming a bit. Well, I've tried my best, but I have messed up on many occasions. If we're honest, that should be our response. The standard of the law in the Bible is simply too high. No matter how hard I try, I am unable to keep all of the law. In many ways, that's the point of it. The law tells us that we are sinners. I remember discovering this for myself way back in the 80s when I was a student. At university one morning I woke up and I just felt a bit dissatisfied. I just felt I wasn't really that good a person. And I thought, this is going to change. New resolution today. I'm going to be nicer. Firstly, I will stop swearing. I will help little old ladies across the road, all that sort of thing. I made a fresh start. And 2 weeks later, I realised I had completely failed. It took me just 2 weeks. It probably took me 2 hours, but I reassessed after 2 weeks. Unfortunately, this silly young man that Jesus is speaking to in Mark 10 does the complete opposite. He deludes himself into thinking he will get into the kingdom by obeying commands. Of course it's good to obey as much as we can, but we fall short. I've heard it described like this: the standard of the law is like trying to swim across the Atlantic Ocean. Any takers for that? I might get a couple of miles. Peter Goodchild's looking very fit and healthy today. You might get 3 or 4? No? The point is, we will fall short of the required standard. And the poor young man has not recognised that. You see, we need to recognise that we're not actually good people. I'm sorry to offend you, but we're not. But that's the very reason, isn't it, that Jesus came. He came to die on the cross because we're not good people. We're all infected with sin. And to say we're good is to delude ourselves. It's like a person with a terrible disease insisting they're fit and well, when in fact they need a doctor. And we need to be cured of our sin. We can't pretend we're good when we're not. On the last day, we will be found to have fallen short. And unless we let Jesus cure us, the consequence is awful. Judgment and eternal separation from all that is good. So by my own efforts, it is impossible to enter the kingdom of God. And that is what verse 23 is all about. Jesus says how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And it's a crazy, lovely picture, isn't it? Picture a camel. There's a camel sanctuary in Suffolk that we like going to. And the camels there are pretty big. I mean, it's probably up to here, isn't it? Now, our needles are probably smaller than the needles they had in those days. But imagine a needle and the eye of a needle. Jesus is being comical. A camel cannot fit through the eye of a needle. But it's easier for that to happen than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus isn't just having a go at rich people here. Because back in the first century, rich people were assumed to be in higher favour with God than the poor. So when the disciples say, in verse 26, who then can be saved? They're saying, well, if this chap can't get in, there's no hope for me. We cannot enter the kingdom of God by our own efforts. This young man failed to realise that. He thought he was doing pretty well. But Jesus needs to break the illusion. And that's one of the reasons Jesus says, go and sell everything. You think you're so good? Let me give you a new command. Here is something you cannot do. Jesus wants to humble this man. He is trying to get the young man to see that he is spiritually poor, even if he is physically rich. He is trying to get this young man to see his sin, to see his need for Jesus and his death on the cross. Now, I think this is probably one of the greatest stumbling blocks for many people. And I've probably mentioned this person before, but I remember a lovely lady called Anne many years ago. She was really nice and she did lots of good things. But that was her difficulty in a way, because she would look at Christians and say, well, I'm better than them. Why aren't I going to get into heaven? She could not see that good works will never be good enough. And the point of the law is to show us that everybody is a sinner in need of Jesus Christ. And Christians, we're no better. We're simply forgiven sinners. We might try to do better in response to being saved. But the only difference is we've grabbed hold of the lifeboat. Look again at verse 26. The disciples are distraught. Who then can be saved? They cry. And Jesus says in verse 27, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. If we rely on our own efforts, we will fail. But if we rely on the efforts of Jesus, and if we rely on his death and resurrection instead, well, then we will get in as a free gift. It is by faith in Jesus that we're saved and gain access to God, not through our own efforts. And that's the second reason then why we might fail to get into the kingdom of heaven. A failure to realise that we're not actually good. But with the grace of God, anything is possible. Let's briefly move on to the third reason why one might fail to get into the kingdom of heaven. And that is a failure to submit all things to Jesus. A failure to submit all things to Jesus. When Jesus challenges this young man in verse 21, saying, "Sell everything and give to the poor," well, I think he is doing two things. We've seen the first thing, which is to challenge him, to realise that here's something the young man can't do. But I think the second thing is simply laying down the challenge of, well, the guy is putting his material possessions before God. And I think it's quite interesting, back in verse 19, when Jesus listed all those commandments, he missed out some of them. The first two commandments are all about putting God first and not having idols. We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind and our strength. And this young man actually had an idol that he put before God. That idol was his wealth. It was getting in the way of his relationship with God. I wonder, what is our idol? Is it wealth, like this young man's? Or is it something else? Whatever it is, we need God's help to get rid of it and to put him first. By ourselves, we're incapable of doing that. But let's remember the grace of God. We need to submit ourselves to Jesus and say, "Look, help. I can't do it without you. But with you, anything is possible." We must not let anything block our relationship with Jesus. That will prevent us from following him. But we can ask for Jesus' help in unblocking it. Unblocking getting rid of our idol. As we come to a close, let's just see here that there is great assurance for those who do submit to Jesus and give up everything to follow him. Not giving up everything as a way of earning brownie points, but simply trusting in Jesus and following him as Lord, recognizing that we are nothing before God but sinners in his hands. But let's just listen to what Jesus says in verse 29 and 30 to his friends. "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." There is great reassurance if we follow Jesus and give up things for him. He will pay us back 100-fold. But as we close, we've seen some challenges about entry into the kingdom of God this morning. Three reasons why one might fail to enter: a failure to recognize who Jesus really is. He is the only good one because he is God. A failure to recognize that we are not good. We need to see our moral bankruptcy. We need to see that our only hope is Jesus and his death. But the benefits of that are freely given. And three, a failure to submit all things to Jesus. What we need to do is simply trust in Jesus as Lord and God. That is how we enter God's kingdom. It's not about going the extra mile, although that is good. It's not about doing enough so we can try and squeeze through the eye of the needle. No, by ourselves, entry is impossible. But with God's grace, all things are possible. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you love the world so much. You sent Jesus to die for us. And we thank you for that wonderful promise that all who come to him in faith and trust in Jesus will be given eternal life. Help us to see that Jesus is our Saviour, our God, our only hope of access into the kingdom. And help us to put him as number one in our lives. In his name we pray. Amen.